Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify has got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
What's going on, Katie?
Everything? Nothing?
You don't have class right now? That's nice.
No. My semester is over, finally, so I can just, like, pause my brain for a little bit. This last 2 weeks was like finals, and then work was really crazy, and I took on a bunch of dog. It's just been crazy. Yeah, I'm doing recovery right now.
It's very important.
Because this has just been truly the busiest summer of my life.
We've also been like doing a lot of activities, which I feel like every weekend, I've got something, you've got some. There's lots of activities happening. I feel like that's not the norm for our summer.
No, not really.
No.
I don't do activities. You're definitely more activity based than I am.
Yes, I am.
No, I'm not big on activities. Been doing a lot. That being said, I am really fucking excited about the Oddities Expo this weekend.
The way I was gonna bring that up, because I was like, well, the activity that we're about to be doing.
Like, I don't like activities, so the ones that I do have to be super cool. Because I do them. Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. I'm really pumped.
Yeah, we get to meet Steph, who is one of our listeners and patrons. We also get to meet Spencer, who is also another listener and Patreon. We're super excited. I can't wait. Oh my god, should we wear our merch shirts?
I was gonna go more on theme.
Oh, okay.
Of the expo.
Okay,
but you are welcome to.
Are you gonna wear a Mothman shirt?
I don't know yet.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll wear our logo shirt. But we definitely have to get photos with Spencer and Steph and post them.
Oh, absolutely. Spencer and I are taking the train together.
Yay. I'm so excited for that. That should be fun. I'm excited for that for you. That should be fun. It's been a long day.
That's true. How are you otherwise?
Just want to say thanks to everyone who was so chill with me having a little mental health break last week. I feel like for the rest of the year, and maybe, I don't know, whenever, the lifespan of this podcast, if we just miss a week, just know that one of us needed a mental health break, and maybe we won't say anything. That's why I took like a little clip from the live and posted it on TikTok, because I was like, I don't even have the mental capacity to like make an actual thing for this. But here, I mentioned it here. I just needed a little break. And to be honest with you, your first queer breakup sucks. I've been real depressed over that. And Katie's been coaching me through it, but this is something that is new to me that I haven't gone through. And I've been a little sad and depressy because it just sucks. It was a great time, and that's why it sucks. But gotta move on. I just needed some like time because I was like, wow, I've been going through so many transitions, and now this person broke up with me. So
yeah,
just needed a hot second to myself.
A lot of change. Major events, minor events, no events. If you need a second, take a second.
Yeah.
Never going to hold that against anyone.
I spent part of the weekend finding myself maybe a new therapist. They sent me an email back that I need to respond to. And it's a practice that is specifically LGBTQ+, because I feel like that's where I need the most guidance in my life right now. I also, with Katie's help and our lovely friend Anne's help, signed up for my own car insurance for the first time ever as a 33-year-old adult. So that's a win. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to take like some of these hard things. I had to get my own car insurance because I have to separate that from my soon-to-be ex-husband. And that was a whole part of this process that's been kind of weird, and I feel like I'm just drifting along it and going with whatever flow life is throwing at me. It's been strange and different, and to be quite honest, even though I'm looking for a new therapist, I have been handling this relatively well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I needed to give myself some grace last week, and thanks for having space for me to take my mental health break. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
This week, with everything that I just said to you, I truly just didn't have it in me to mentally put together the level of episodes that you are all used to. So today we're going to do a more freeform episode. I know we've done these kinds of things before, similar to what we do with some of the things that we post on the Patreon. I have a couple updates about episodes that we have done in the past. When I say that, I mean, 2022, which feels like so crazy. That was 2 years ago.
That's wild.
Yeah. I was like, damn, there are so many episodes that we've done in between, like, the first one I'm going to go over and where we are now. I was, like, really scrolling through on Spotify. I was like, damn, we really produced this much?
Yeah. It's... Wow.
It's kind of crazy. Before I tell you what they are, I do want to give a quick trigger warning. The second thing that I'll be talking about does have mentions of rape and rape kit testing and things like that. So just a heads up on that. The first one we're going to talk about is the Chinatown, New York City jail.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So long ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then an update on the episode about the rape kit testing.
Okay.
So I have an article for each, and we're going to read them and discuss as we go through. So for the first one, for the Chinatown jail, this article... Oh, let me scroll all the way back up. Da, 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 da. This article is from The Guardian. I know, slight groan. This is from August of 2023. Which was, as I was looking through the last update that I could find about what's going on, it is a pretty in-depth article, and it's pretty long, but I'm gonna kind of go about halfway through it, because the first half is just kind of like introducing the reader to what we learned about.
The concept.
In the episode. It's called, New York is building the world's tallest jail in Chinatown. Can anyone stop it? And it's written by Wilfred Chan. There's no serious debate, even in Chinatown, about whether Rikers needs to be shut down. The real controversy has always been over what to do afterward. One of the proponents of borough-based jails, the plan for four new structures in Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, and Manhattan, is Dana Kaplan, a prison reform advocate who in 2018 became deputy director of the then Mayor Bill de Blasio's Office of Criminal Justice, where she helped conceptualize the proposal. Now she's a senior advisor on the city's Independent Commission for Criminal Justice Reform. Quote, this is a once in a generation opportunity to try and transform the city's criminal justice system into something that is more humane, she says. She says the goal isn't just to shuffle detainees around, but to redesign the system so that they can spend less time waiting behind bars. Quote, it serves no one for individuals to sit on Rikers Island for literally years pre-trial, end quote. And she's right.
Facts.
Yeah. A big part of that, she says, involves relocating jails closer to the courts, as we learned in the last episode, rather than what is current practice on Rikers Island, which is waking individuals up at 3 a.m., loading them onto buses, dealing with traffic, and often missing court hearings, which is truly so fucked up.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. But the residents of Chinatown aren't sold. A big source of discomfort is that even today, no one... not even city officials, Kaplan or Eric Adams, actually knows what the new jail will look like. That's because it's being constructed through a design-build process in which the city will commission a single firm to both design and build the jail. Though the demolition for the old jail is underway, the city hasn't selected a developer for the new one. It's kind of like building a bridge as you're crossing over it, says Jan Lee, a local landlord and founder of Neighbors United Below Canal Street, a group that opposes the new jail. Based on the new jail's approved zoning permit, Lee anticipates a, quote, massive building extending 2 to 3 blocks in every direction that rises as tall as the Statue of Liberty, which stands at 305 feet. In the middle of fucking Chinatown, dude.
What the fuck?
He says, this is going to be the beacon of Chinatown. No matter where you look downtown, you will see this jail. End quote. When it's coupled with the city's criminal court and another federal prison a few blocks down, Chinatown will be known as Jailtown, he says. He's so right. That's going to be the entire vibe. It's like it's looming over everyone who lives there.
Absolutely.
Carrie Colhane, an architectural historian and expert on Chinatown's buildings, predicts that the new jail will be grossly out of scale, with its shadow potentially reaching the Manhattan Bridge, and will become the ominous, defining architectural feature of the area. It's giving Gotham City in the worst fucking way.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the vibe that we need. People don't need to be just, like, staring at a fucking jail.
That's a huge shadow.
Think of the effects of that on the little bits of trees Damn. That are lining the streets. And I do wonder, like, if that will affect the park that we learned about in the first episode. That's going to be affected just a couple blocks away by this. Like, I wonder oh, yeah. what direction that shadow will be cast and how long it would be over that. Because that fucking sucks. You're trying to enjoy a nice day at the park.
Yeah.
You don't want the shadow of a jail casted over you. Casted? Cast. It's been a long day.
We understood you either way.
Chinatown residents aren't only worried about optics. They say the jail's prolonged construction could spell disaster for a neighborhood already in dire straits. Chinatown was hit earlier and harder than its wealthier Manhattan neighbors by the pandemic, which, along with a rise in anti-Asian violence, has accelerated an exodus of Asian residents that has been underway since 9/11. Thousands had to leave after the attacks on the nearby Twin Towers shut down Chinatown for months, obliterating the neighborhood's garment industry. More left after Hurricane Sandy shut off Chinatown's power for weeks. And in the wake of each disaster, residents say authorities have provided far too little aid. Now the area's surviving businesses see far fewer visitors than before. By 6 or 7 p.m., there's almost no one, says Pastors Chung. And as the jail construction ramps up, the restaurateur fears his business might crumble. That isn't just a metaphor. Many of the buildings facing the jail, including Chung's storefront, are century-old tenements made of brick, mortar, and wood. Quote, these are buildings that were built cheaply, not steel-reinforced, and sitting on very shallow foundations, says Lee. And buried underneath the jail site is a former pond and toxic waste dump, which would need to be dewatered before the new tower could be built. Lee believes that could compromise the tenement building's foundations. Quote, we're talking about hundreds of families that could possibly have to be evacuated overnight.
Jesus.
There's also intense worry for the residents of a senior center. We learned about that in the last episode. That's right next to the jail. Mm-hmm. Last April, Lee was among 10 Chinatown residents arrested after sitting in the street and linking arms in a desperate attempt to block the first construction vehicles from entering. Also arrested was Victoria Lee, a local Democratic Party district leader who says it felt heartbreaking to see the cranes arrive. But the city says it's determined to proceed with the new tower. Quote, the administration has engaged deeply and extensively with community members and elected officials over the last 17 months. Even pausing work for 2 months in early 2022 and again partially in 2023 to evaluate alternative proposals. A spokesperson for Adams, Mayor Eric Adams, told The Guardian in an email, based on a thorough analysis, the administration's team of experts and engineers determined that our plan would be faster, save millions of taxpayer dollars, and limit disruption to the community. That's bullshit.
Truly.
Christopher Mart, a local progressive city councilman who also joined the protest, says the delays are an opportunity. He thinks there's a good chance that by the time the city is ready to break ground on Chinatown's new jail, currently estimated to cost more than $2 billion, billion with a B, it won't have enough money to pull it off. Quote, they're going to get to a point where they can't build the tallest jail, and they might have to take what we've been pitching, which is adaptive reuse of the space. So this is not a done deal.
Fascinating.
For some activists, there's an even better alternative. Take that money and put it into communities so that fewer people end up in jail to begin with. Yes, yes, yes. Why is it that people need to go to jail to get access to services that should be resourced well in their community to prevent them from going to jail in the first place? Asks Woods Irvin, an organizer with the prison abolitionist group Critical Resistance. What most Rikers inmates really need is mental health care, Irvin argues, and if more communities had those services in place, then more prisoners could be released. Facts. Literal facts. All across the board.
Absolutely.
By putting those services inside jails, New York City seems to have given up on its people, says Jan Lee. Quote, the message is, we're going to put things in to help you, but we're going to put them in the place where we know you're going to end up, which is jail. Last week, at a long-awaited town hall in the neighborhood with Adams, Jan Lee was the sole resident who questioned the mayor about the jail. Lee didn't demand the jail be stopped, but only asked Adams for a seat at the design table to make sure that this is right size, right scale, and right for our community with the least amount of impact. Adams agreed. He also reminded the audience that the jail wasn't his idea. Oh, of course. He needs to take that culpability off of him.
Oh, just in case anyone forgot.
Right? He says, quote, "I would have done it differently, but that's the reality, that I inherited a broken city that we have to now fix." Put this out there. I don't know if you're from the tri-state area, but Eric Adams has certainly not fixed the city. He has definitely made it worse. Wow. Then he issued a dark warning of what could happen if the new jail didn't get built. Quote, "We're going to have to take Rikers residents who may have done violent crimes, and because we don't have any room, we're going to have to put them on the streets. I have a problem with that."
What?
Sir, that's not how the system actually works. Are you fucking crazy? That's literally not how your system works, bro.
Why?
Are you serious?
Why are you so comfortable saying that out loud?
No one is fucking saying that, and no one has even suggested that. Where are you getting this from? I feel like he wants to cosplay Gotham so hard.
Yeah, but only because he wants to be Batman.
He sucks at it. Nobody in the room challenged him. The opposition was tired. The world's tallest jail inched closer to reality. And I don't blame people for feeling exhausted.
Yeah.
When you're getting responses like that from the fucking mayor. What else could one do? Quote, "We already tried protesting it and it didn't work," says Chung. "I just hope they build it fast so things can hopefully get back to normal." Where we're at 2 years later is that they have started demolishing, which is, as we already know from the last episode, not healthy to the community around them.
Yeah.
And they don't have an actual plan, nor will they even probably have the money once they have to start building it.
So cool.
Yeah. So 2 years later, that's the fucking update on that.
I love that. That's so cool.
Our next article is from the Washington State Standard, and it's called "Sexual Assault Survivors Can Now Track Their Rape Kits in Most States." This was written by Amanda Hernandez, September 8th. Of 2023.
Okay.
"It can take hours for a sexual assault victim to undergo the multiple swabs, hair samples, blood and urine collections, and other invasive procedures of a sexual assault examination." Definitely learned that in the last episode.
Yeah.
"And then it can take months, sometimes years, sometimes never, for investigators to process that evidence. But now, responding to demands from survivors and their advocates, more states have committed to tackling years-long investigative backlogs, and dozens are adopting tracking systems that allow patients to follow the forensic paths of their own sexual assault kits. The tracking systems aim to address historical challenges, such as an inadequate forensic evidence handling, delays in case processing, and under-reporting of assaults. The systems can streamline communication among law enforcement agencies, forensic laboratories, and survivors. Perhaps most importantly, the accountability and transparency that come with tracking the assault kit can also speed up a case's resolution." It's almost like tracking a package, which is a weird analogy for this, but it really is like that, where you're getting to see each step.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, if it's not happening fast enough, then you know who to bug about it. Because I love making a phone call when things are not happening the way that they're supposed to be.
I feel.
Quote, "The overarching purpose is to restore dignity and sort of try to tip the balance of power from folks who have been sexually assaulted," said Colorado State Rep. Meg Freilich, a Democrat who authored her state's rape kit tracking law in an interview with Stateline. Quote, "What we're trying to do is get folks to come forward," she said, "and to feel that the process is there for them to achieve what they need for healing and closure."
What a beautiful way of approaching that.
There's a lot of empathy behind that.
Yeah.
Especially because a lot of the times when your stuff hasn't been tested, or you miss a statute of limitations because of no testing happening, like, that really can put a lot of mental and emotional anguish on someone who still hasn't gotten the closure that they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely.
"At least 40 states and the District of Columbia have implemented or committed to establishing a sexual assault tracking system in the past 9 years, including several coming on board this year. According to End the Backlog website, run by the nonprofit advocacy group Joyful Heart Foundation, I used them for a lot of my sources in the last episode about this, the foundation supports survivors of sexual assault, domestic violence, and child abuse. Alaska and Florida have launched their online sexual assault kit tracking portals this summer. I find it so wonderful that they have gotten theirs online, especially because there's a lot of areas. There are not even police in those villages. They come like once a week or once every 2 weeks on a helicopter or an airplane to the town to check on things. The fact that this exists is amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Colorado and Louisiana enacted legislation in May and June, respectively, to establish their own tracking systems. Advocates say providing a tool to monitor the progress of their kits gives survivors a sense of control and participation in the investigative process, which can be crucial in their healing journey. Moreover, the transparency offered by tracking systems ensures that law enforcement agencies are held accountable for timely kit processing. Quote, this is just one more tool to evaluate the whole entire system, whether it's the sexual assault nurse examiners, the crime lab, the police departments, so that we are doing the best service to these survivors, says Monica Taylor, the special projects coordinator for the Louisiana Attorney General's office in an interview with Stateline. This tracking system is going to help them go from being a victim to being a survivor and taking some of the control and power back into their lives. And it's so true. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of data comes out of this in different areas to see where the holdups have been and who is truly the issue as you go down the line of these processes.
Absolutely. And with this timeline, how will that impact court timelines in terms of the other direction? If a defense lawyer is able to be like, well, why were you guys holding on to this for 4 weeks? And what is that going to mean for the future?
That's a great point, Katie. Tracking systems also allow advocates to fully support survivors who may have concerns about delays, says Nicole Cass Colvin, the manager of coordinated community responses for the Ohio Alliance to End Sexual Violence. Prior to the launch of Ohio's tracking system in 2020, monitoring a kit's progress was challenging, often requiring survivors to contact law enforcement for updates. And we all know that that's a hassle. Sexual assault kit tracking systems are typically web portals designed to trace the kit's movement throughout the chain of custody. With the collection of a rape evidence kit at a medical facility, a unique tracking or serial number is assigned and provided to the survivor. Law enforcement typically picks up the kits, then sends them to a crime for lab testing. There are so many just sitting in evidence rooms. So, like, I'm very interested to see if the problem is
that
not being sent out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I suspect probably. That is probably the case. After testing, the kit may be stored at the crime lab or another secure location for several months or years, depending on the state's storage requirements. And if that's the case, then we need to update those requirements.
Yeah.
The evidence can be used to link the assault to a suspect in existing DNA databases or to develop a DNA profile that can be used in the future. Processing times for rape kits vary by state. For instance, it can take up to 120 days in Florida, 60, of course, Florida, 60 days in Alaska, and just 30 days in Ohio, which that's Ohio. I'm like, 30 days? Okay. Because sometimes it's taken months for like the medical examiner to do an amendment for a death certificate. I mean, months and months. There was one where it took like a whole year. So 30 days is
fucking take it.
Pretty great. I take that. I wish it was faster, but I would take that. The exact scope of the rape kit testing backlog remains unclear, but as of September 7th, and remember this is from last year, 2023, and our episode was in 2022, there are at least 59,894 untested kits in 23 states, according to data collected by the Joyful Heart Foundation. A statewide sexual assault kit tracker has quickened the pace of forensic testing in some states, and in some cases, allowed states to identify and address delays. Several states have reduced their backlog backlogs of unsubmitted rape kits, those that were never even sent to a lab for testing. Alaska, for example, cleared its backlog of untested kits that were held by law enforcement in 2021 and completed result analysis in 2022, according to the Alaska Department of Public Safety's communication director, Austin McDaniel.
Wow.
Cleared it. Similarly, New Hampshire reduced its backlog from 582 kits in 2019 to just one kit in 2022, according to an analysis by USA Facts, a nonpartisan data center.
Okay, only 500 kits, though? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Okay, New Hampshire.
Okay, New Hampshire. I hope that's because rape is low and not because people are too scared to report it.
Yes, yes, yes. The kits have significant investigative value. In Ohio, for example, state investigators plowing through a backlog of 13,931 kits found 5,349 hits in a DNA database. The state has now cleared its backlog entirely. North Carolina and Michigan have also reduced their backlog significantly. From 2018 to 2022, North Carolina saw a 99% reduction in unsubmitted kits, while Michigan achieved a 95% reduction during the same period. USA Facts also found that in some states, such as Louisiana and Maryland, the number of unsubmitted kits held by law enforcement increased between 2018 and 2022. Both states' tracking systems are currently in development.
Okay, good. I'm glad. The one where it increased 99% is quite literally like one person just being like, if you don't send in your rape kits, like you're now being held accountable.
Pretty much. And I see unsubmitted and I just think the police didn't ever submit them to the lab, fuckers. Finish your task. If the task is take this and send it out, take this and send it out. Finish, complete the task.
Send it out.
Aren't you supposed to be regimented? Finish the task at hand. Thanks. Under Louisiana's new law, the state sexual assault kit tracking system will be created by the Louisiana State Police. The agency must have a plan by January. Oh, we should check up on that. And all police and healthcare providers who store rape kits must fully participate by July 1st, 2024. I'm going to have to look into that. We're probably going to have another update. Going to have to look into that because here we are. In August
14th, and I am very curious.
The path to establishing state tracking systems varies widely. Some states have passed laws, while others have set up their trackers through agency action or funding priorities, according to Matteo Cello, a policy implementation associate with the Joyful Heart Foundation. New Hampshire, for example, secured federal money in 2019 to develop the tracking system, but doesn't have a law on the books. In some states, tracking systems exist only in specific cities or counties. Before the launch of Michigan's statewide system, Wayne County partnered with UPS to create a sexual assault tracking system in Detroit using the same technology the company uses to track packages. I am so glad that that came full fucking circle.
Truly.
Wow. Okay. Technological approaches also differ, with some states buying software from private companies and others, such as Ohio, building their systems in-house. Multiple vendors and systems such as Sam's Track and Track Kit by Invita Healthcare Technologies now sell tracking software for evidence kits. Some states have relied on their own coffers to fund rape kit tracking projects, while others have used grants awarded by the Justice Department's Office on Violence Against Women or the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative, which is funded by the Bureau of Justice Assistance, a federal agency that awards grants for state, local, and tribal criminal justice projects. Quote, one of the main barriers is the initial cost, Cello said. A lot of states get scared by how much implementing a tracking system can cost, so these federal grants definitely help ease some of the state's worries in terms of creating a tracking system. The Sexual Assault Kit Initiative has awarded more than $140 million since 2015 to 23 state agencies, 3 state law enforcement agencies, and 9 state attorney general offices in 30 states. Much of the money goes to tracking, though some states have used it to tackle backlogs or hire staff.
Perfect.
Right? Because that's a big part of it too is everyone is understaffed.
Yeah.
Just chronically understaffed all the time. We are putting so much work onto like just a few people in some places. There's definitely been a lot of progress. That doesn't mean it's done. There's still a lot more work to do, Cello said. We'd like to see all 50 states get a tracking system. And I hope that someday I can come back with another update that says that that is a reality.
Yeah, seriously. It feels like it should be.
Right?
It doesn't feel like it should be that hard.
It looks like there are many avenues to make this happen. And even if you need financial assistance, it's there. Now we just need people to put pressure on different states that have not implemented this yet, or ones that have it in the works, and make sure that they are staying on top of that and doing it in a timely manner.
Yeah.
So that's what I have for today. Today's two updates.
Well, thank you for those updates, dude. That I feel like we have another one coming very soon.
I know. I'm like, holy shit, we have to look more into that because the deadline has passed, cops. Did you do it?
Right.
Did you complete the task?
Did you finish your homework?
I wanted to say that before. So we'll come back with that too, because I'm interested to look into that. But I hope everyone, I don't want to say enjoyed these updates, but I hope that we have all learned something new today. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle from Olive & June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny System. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny system comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 Mannies that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails? Where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.